You're listening to The Residential Movement, where the focus is on making in-home dental care normal instead of novel or niche. I'm your host, Dr. Ashley Robinson, a house call dentist with a lot of passion for reaching patients who are best served in their home or residence. I'm here to encourage, equip, and empower dentists like you to begin offering in-home dental services for patients who cannot get to the office, while also enjoying a more balanced work life. We discuss everything from dentistry, business, ethics, mindset, and more. Listen in to learn how you can become a part of the residential movement.
Hello. This week, I'm going to answer a question that I've gotten from many people recently. The question is, how did you handle your maternity leave? It's a good question and can be relevant to anyone taking a long leave for any reason, but my answer is specifically more geared toward maternity leave, so let's get into it. I think this question has been so popular because I'm a solo practitioner. It's much easier to take a leave from a group practice when there are other providers who can care for your patients and other providers who can earn enough to keep your practice operating while you're out. But in the case of a solo practitioner, while you have a lot of freedom, you rely on yourself in order to earn. This is true even in a brick and mortar practice. Last winter, I was asked to fill in for a friend of mine for a few hours over the course of her month at her office because she's a solo practitioner and she broke her wrist playing pickleball. She needed someone to supervise hygiene and to see her patients. Because yeah, it's tricky as a solo practitioner. Thankfully, my leave was due to a pregnancy, which is long and not sudden, so I had plenty of time to prepare. I knew that the practice had to stay open while I was out, so this meant I had to be prepared to pay my assistant and my monthly bills while I wasn't earning. You can purchase some short-term insurance products for leaves like this, but for me, I did not find them worthwhile. My expenses are relatively low, so I preferred to save for them. I have long-term disability insurance and business overhead insurance, but nothing to cover a maternity leave quite like this, so I just started stacking cash. If you're a regular listener to this podcast, you know that I'm very debt-averse. Student loans have scarred me. I believe in running a lean practice that you can start with cash and always keeping at least 3 months of expenses liquid. But in addition to that minimum liquidity, I wanted to save enough to be out for an additional 3 months. Saving money is like losing weight. It's simple, but it's not always easy. Spend less than you make. Burn more than you consume. But being disciplined is the real challenge. So I dug deep and saved up. Once I knew the practice would be financially secure, then I could start thinking about the logistics of my leave. I knew I had to find the right dentist to fill in for me. I couldn't just leave my patients without anyone to call for months. But finding someone to fill in wasn't going to be easy because I'm the only house call provider in town. Plus, before I could really approach another dentist, I had to have answers to their questions about what I would need from them and what I could offer them. So I started to think about how frequently I'd want someone to fill in. And I also had to decide how much I'd be able to compensate them because dentists need to be paid like dentists, you know? Once I made those decisions, I reached out to a friend of mine. She's a former classmate and residency mate, so I knew that she was totally qualified and she's a wonderful person. We'd always kept in touch and she'd been curious about my practice prior to this anyway. I invited her to come with me on a house call. And after that experience, she said she'd be happy to help me. She's a new mom herself and she works part-time, so she was available to fill in for me part-time. She really understood the value of me being home for a while and did this to me as a favor. I was very lucky that such a person in my circle exists and I'm forever going to be grateful for her help. Logistically, working with her was really simple. I work out of my home, so this meant that I could pack her bags at my house every morning. Then she'd come over here to pack her car, and we'd meet briefly to discuss the plan for the day. After her visit, she'd drive back to my house and drop everything off, so I could sterilize it and take care of all the financial stuff. Easy peasy. So yes, I was working during my leave with this dentist, and of course I was in touch with my virtual assistant about all administrative things throughout my leave. So I wasn't completely off during my maternity leave, but that's what comes with owning a business. When you're self-employed, you have responsibilities that can't be shut off completely, even if you're not needed clinically. But you also have all the other benefits that come along with being self-employed, and I'm going to touch more on that later. Let's back up for a minute. When I was pregnant, I had to inform my patients. As soon as I found out that I was expecting, at every appointment, I would tell patients when I was due. This gave me the chance to explain that I'd be on leave for a while, and it gave us the impetus to make sure we got treatment tied up before my leave. So even before I was showing, anyone I saw during my pregnancy knew that I was pregnant. I was not trying to be discreet or keep any secrets because nobody likes surprises. My assistant and I called every patient that was due for recall during the leave to give them the news and to offer them scheduling options. Finally, we sent out a mailer to all of my active patients to tell them about my pregnancy, my leave, and that we'd be open during the leave so they should not be shy about calling because another dentist will be available to them. So earlier, I mentioned that I was financially prepared to be out for 3 months, but still, I knew that certain patients were going to wait to resume treatment until I was back. There was also one patient, a longtime patient, who was moving into a restrictive assisted living situation, and she really wanted to see me before she moved. So in my case, I actually returned to seeing patients 5 weeks postpartum, which when taken out of context sounds horrible. If you're a standard dentist, I don't recommend doing that. I actually don't recommend that anybody does that. But for me, going back to work meant that I saw two patients in one afternoon once that week. Same the following week. Returning to clinical work for me meant spending no more than 4 hours outside of my home each week while my baby's at home with one of her family members. Having that family support is such a blessing, so I didn't stress out about caregiving. But the truth is, I also didn't have the shock of suddenly returning to a busy office 40 hours a week after not working at all for many months. Everything and every adjustment has been staged and gradual. Being a self-employed house call dentist really means that I control my schedule. I have the greatest flexibility in my career, more than any other dentist I know. This is priceless to me, especially after becoming a mom. Remember to grab the free scheduling guide called A Day in the Life of a House Call Dentist at residentialmovement.com/a-day-in-the-life for yourself. I'm going to stand on my controversial soapbox for a second. It's actually sad that what I'm about to say is controversial at all because it's a fact, but I'm going to say it. Babies need their mothers. They need their mothers to be physically and emotionally available to them. Even if their mothers are practice-owning dentists, the baby doesn't care. Yes, fathers and grandparents are amazing and loving, but babies need their mothers and prefer their mothers to these people during this stage of their lives. I had heard this in the past, but assumed it was mostly sentimental garbage. But since having a baby, I realized it's completely true. I had every intention of returning to work full-time after my leave, but now I've made the decision to significantly reduce my hours so I never have to be away from her for more than a few hours at a time. So while I did end my leave and return to work early, I'm going back on a very, very part-time basis. Now, with my new scheduling boundaries, this means I'm seeing fewer patients per week and booking appointments out slightly farther. It means I'll be earning less. And all of that is okay with me. Moments with my baby are not only priceless to me, they're essential for her to develop healthy attachment. I'm grateful to have the opportunity to spend a ton of time with her and call the shots about when exactly I'll be away from her. That is the freedom that comes with running a house call practice. The freedom to make decisions as a self-employed person is worth more than any corporate benefits package. So that's it. That's how I survived my leave. I had cash to be gone for 3 months, and I found a replacement dentist through my own circle of colleagues. I did return to work much sooner than expected, but I eased into it very slowly. And going forward, I'll be home with my baby more than I ever thought I would be. If you're a young dentist, please know that this lifestyle option is completely available to you as a house call dentist. I am not an expert on this, and I don't expect any of you to have a leave that's exactly like mine, but you asked the question, so I answered. I hope it was helpful. Thanks for considering house call dentistry as a career. The Residential Movement podcast and website are here to help you enter this field. So many patients need you, so I want to help you get there. Thanks for listening to this week's episode. I really appreciate you.
That's a wrap on this episode of The Residential Movement. If you like what you heard today, please leave a 5-star review and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. If you know someone who could benefit from this information, please share this with them. All of these actions help fuel the Residential Movement. Visit residentialmovement.com for show notes and for access to any links referenced in this episode. Thanks again for listening, Doc. Keep up the good work.